Well, I think one of my favorite childhood memories of Christmas myself is listening to all the Christmas music. Now, in my home, growing up back in the 60s, we had this thing in our dining room, and it was called a record player. And it played music. And so what we did was we took these things like this. This is one of the originals, folks. And you took this thing out, this is what a record looked like, and you put it inside this record player, and it would spin it around and around and around, and a little needle would track along with it, and music would come out. But we had these, and it was great. We listened to, of course, the famous Bing Crosby, White Christmas, and this is original. $1,000 if anybody wants this. And then one of my favorites was Nat King Cole, and particularly the song in here, Mrs. Santa Claus, all-time favorite of mine. And I don't have it, but my sister and I, we loved the Alvin and the Chipmunk Christmas record, so we played that all the time on our own little record player. But music was what Christmas was all about, and it was always playing in our home, and it started kind of when we started putting up our tree, and it was a great thing. It's a season for singing. It's a season of joy and all those kind of things that came out and expressed in that music. But here's the thing. It's also a season, in a sense, to bring out, you know, the pink candle like we did today. Because it's a time to celebrate. Historically, the color pink in the church is a color of joy. It's a color of celebration. Now, I don't know if it was done intentionally in church history, but I think it's a great thing to focus on the word joy, you know, when we're just maybe 2 weeks away from Christmas, because it's usually about this time that maybe our ho, ho, ho is being a little stretched, and it's maybe not the same as it was maybe at the beginning. It's being tested. But we as followers of Jesus Christ know that even in the midst of maybe sometimes the most dire of circumstances, there's times of joy. And there's a reason for that. Because God has come to bring his love to us, to save us, to rescue us. And I think we need it especially today. This past Thursday, down at Orange Lutheran, I met with a bunch of pastors. We gather regularly. And this one, we had like 15 local pastors around. And we were just sharing what was going on in ministry and in our churches and the like. And one of the pastor guests is a chaplain at Hoag Hospital. And he made an interesting comment because he says, you know, today we are now faced with our newest pandemic. He said the newest pandemic that we're struggling with right now that he sees is one of mental health issues. And when you think about it, how true that is. Not only is it a real thing that we as a culture, you know, we try to come alongside and help people with, but even more so today. People need hope. People need reassurance. People need to know that they're not alone in whatever's going on in life. People need to know that they're heard. And what an opportune time to bring in the message of Christmas and to bring in what Christ brings to each and every one of us. So this year, during this Advent season, the weeks leading up to Christmas, we've been doing the sermon series on the names or the titles of Jesus, and each week we're kind of unwrapping those names. This morning, the names that give joy. One of the names or titles ascribed to Jesus is Alpha and Omega. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, it says, Jesus speaking here, he says, I am the Alpha and Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Now, for those who may be unfamiliar with the Greek alphabet, maybe it doesn't, well, what does that mean? By saying Alpha and Omega, what you're really saying is he's the A and the Z. But even to say that doesn't really truly give it justice either. The idea is Alpha and Omega are the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, but they represent the entirety of just not the letters, but knowledge, existence, and all time. What does this mean? Scripture reveals something to us about Jesus. From the beginning to end, Jesus was and is and will be. All things live, move, and have their being in him. There's nothing outside of his realm of his presence. He rules over all existence. And through him, all things were created. In him, all things hold together. All of it is loaded into that one phrase, that one title, that one name, Alpha and Omega. But then there's more. Not only is he the beginning and the end of all creation and all things, he's also the author and finisher of our faith. He's the source of that. He entered into our world so that we could know him and know what he is like, what God is like. I always think back, my first year in college, my intro to philosophy class. Now, my philosophy professor literally was Yoda, all right? So if Yoda ever came and taught a class in college, that was my philosophy professor. And I'll never forget the one time in class he says, you know, to me, God is the void. And when he said, God is the void, I couldn't help but raise my hand and say, you know what? I have a really hard time relating to a void. What does that mean? What's personal about a void? And I think the thing that's so unique about Christianity is it gives us a God, it reveals to us a God who is personal, who is intimate, who wants to be in our life, in our world. And that's why he came. He experienced the full range of human life, yet without sin. From his birth in a stable to being condemned by his own community to hang on a cross like a criminal, Jesus lived that life of faith, entrusting himself into his Father's hands and his will, and he did it all in obedience. The very last words out of Jesus' mouth as he was dying on the cross was, "It is finished." The work of salvation had its beginning and its end in Jesus. And here's the thing. He did all of it knowing what the outcome would be. He knew what would happen. The writer of Hebrews says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." He knew all the stuff that was coming at him, and that's the shame, he just scorned it. He pushed it aside because he had a joy of what all of this would point to and all of it would end up being. Because for Jesus, that joy came from what he knew would come as a result of what he came to do and be for us. He also knew that he would be resurrected in glory, and he would spend eternity with his bride, the church, which he came to save, to cleanse, to make his own. So we can take comfort in our Alpha and Omega, knowing that whatever we experience in this journey of faith, that we're not alone. That he has journeyed before us and now journeys with us. And he will see us safely to the end. Alpha and Omega is an amazing statement. Another name is the bread of life. Jesus said, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Now, in the ancient Middle East, bread was just a staple of everyone's diet. It was the most reliable source of energy for the body, readily available with little preparation. You had food. Now, when Jesus said and referred to himself as this phrase, bread of life, bread from heaven, his listeners would automatically track back in their own history and understand the context. And they would all trace it back to this thing called manna. The Israelites were stuck out in the wilderness, wandering around in the desert for 40 years. But they know that God took care of them. So manna was this, we'll call it a quote-unquote food product, that just appeared on the ground every morning, and it was edible, and they were able to eat it. It was there for their daily bread, their daily sustenance. It kept them going. It was life for them. He gave it to them to keep them from starving to death. In a similar way, God gave Jesus into the world to save us from certain death, from separation from Him. He came to be the source of life for us. But also, Jesus taught us the bread of life is greater than the manna their ancestors received under Moses. Because that was just a temporary thing. You got it for the day, you ate it, but again, you were hungry later and you had to get more of it the next day, and you were never fully satisfied. But the manna Jesus was offering, his very life, satisfies for all eternity. I think the thing is, in this life, we try to fill ourselves and satisfy ourselves with the stuff that we find around us in this world. And I think we have to admit it, it's just never enough. It doesn't fully satisfy. There's always something different, something more, something better, something else comes along. But it doesn't truly satisfy. But Jesus offers himself to all who believe in him with that invitation. It's open to all. It was put on Jesus as, in a sense, as a put down, but it's great news. Jesus eats with sinners. Some people thought that was a bad thing. I take it as great news. Jesus comes just to be with people who are broken, who are hurting, that have messed up, whatever it is. Jesus comes to be with people and welcomes them to his table. See, in the beautiful picture of the Last Supper, we're reminded that Jesus' broken body becomes part of our body. It gives us energy. He fills us with himself, satisfies every longing that any human could ever have. The psalmist says, in your presence there is fullness and joy. At your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. See, the bread of life invites us to feast on him. It's kind of an interesting thing when you think about it, because Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born, the town Bethlehem literally means house of bread. When Jesus was born, where was he placed? He was placed in a manger, in a feeding trough. And then Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He offers himself to all people. See, here's the thing. Christmas tells us where to look. It tells us where to look for what we ultimately need. And the Christmas message is that on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. It doesn't say a light has sprung. It says a light has dawned, meaning it comes from the outside. There is a light outside of this world, and Jesus brought that light and desires to put that light within us. So it is, I guess, where are you at this morning? Where are you at this morning? Because I think at times like this, in this season of Christmas and what it is, there's a lot of emptiness sometimes and a lot of unfulfillment at Christmas time. Because we want something to be one thing and maybe it's not. We confuse fun with joy. So we try to manipulate circumstances to make it, in a sense, seem one thing that maybe it really was never intended to be. But see, here's the thing. Christmas assures us that God loves us. He sent his son to save us, to offer us life. See, joy comes from a heart that is assured. There's a beautiful song, it's called Joy Pours Out by Christy Knuckles. Here's some of the lyrics. Peace you leave me, peace you give me, a gift no one can give, a kind that fills your heart and makes you sing, and from the first you have loved me, and I am in your keep. So home, your safe harbor, take me. Where your peace flows in and your joy pours out. Jesus, your peace flows in and your joy. Where your joy pours out. That's when the joy pours out. That's when the joy pours out. That's when the joy pours out. When the peace flows in and the joy pours out. See, the message of Christmas is a promise. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today a Savior has been born to you. It's found in the Alpha and Omega. It's found in the bread of life. The song Joy to the World, and as far as the curse is found, he desires to make his blessings flow and bring about a new creation, a new life. So receive the King of a new life and family you're being invited to be a part of. Let his declared peace flow in you, and the joy will pour out. I wish you a very blessed Christmas season. It's a pronouncement to you of God's love for you and what he has done. There is nothing greater that truly satisfies. He is the beginning and the end of all things in him, and he is the sustainer and giver of real and true life. God's peace, mercy, and blessings be with you. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift.